Colossians 1:18. Once again, Colossians 1:18. Colossians comes after Philippians, right before Titus, I believe, or Thessalonians. Okay, Colossians 1:18. Listen carefully, for this is the word of God. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Let's pray. God, some of us come here today tired. Some of us come here, Lord, not wanting to be here. Lord, some of us come with heavy burdens, Lord, and with guilt and with sin upon our hearts. Pray, O Lord, that we will repent in all the ways that we blaspheme you and all the ways that we rebel against you, Lord. That we turn away and run towards you, Lord Jesus. You who justify us, you who blot out our transgressions and our sin. I pray, O Lord, that in this message today, that, Lord, that you will use me to point to you. Because it is through you, Lord Jesus, that we get refreshed. Through you, we have new life. And may we exalt your name in the message today, in our praise today, in our worship today. May we exalt you, Lord Jesus. May we remember that you are king over our lives, that you are the hero in our lives. You are our Savior, our Messiah, our Christ. I pray today that as you use me, Lord, may I decrease and you increase, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're continuing in our series on Colossians, and we've been going over who this Jesus is, right? Paul has been talking about who Jesus is. We've been seeing that he is the image of the invisible God, right? Basically saying that he is God himself. So we learned that. We learned that he's firstborn of all creation, meaning he is like number one, right? We learned that everything was created by him and for him and through him, right? So he is the creator of this universe. Right, all things visible and invisible. Right? And he holds all things together. And so we're plowing through, and today we find out that in verse 18, he is the what? Head of the church. Right? If the church is his body, then he is the head. He is the firstborn of the dead. Right? Obviously that means that we're talking about resurrection. Right? And he is preeminent. Right? And that word preeminent, in another way, is saying he is first. He is first in all things. Right? And to any Christian, this is obvious, right? Of course it's obvious. We know this. Jesus is the head of the church, okay? You know, if you ever made a diagram, right, of how the church works, it's like you have pastors. You know, most people think pastors are at the top. Then you have some elders and some deacons, right? Then you got regular people, right? That's how it works, right? But before all of that, what do you know? Well, who's above even the pastor? The church. I mean, Jesus is. Right? We know this. Right? To any Christian, it's very obvious. Right? But what happens when the head is cut off from the body? Okay, what happens if your head was cut off from your body? Not everyone knows this too, right? You would die. Right? You would die. Right? what would happen when Jesus isn't the head of the church? What happens to that church? Just like a body would die, the church would die. When a church forgets that Jesus is everything, and forgets that that's the purpose, then the church will die. It's like a chicken. Have you heard that term, a chicken with his head cut off? You ever seen a chicken with his head cut off? No? All right. When a chicken with his head cut off, right, you know what happens? They let it go, and it starts flapping its wings, and it goes around for like, you know, maybe like 2 minutes, right, going all crazy, and it jerks around, right? Literally, and sometimes it like jumps in the air, and it flaps, all this stuff. And then it stops moving. Why do I bring this up? Because when we forget about Jesus, right, when we forget about Jesus, right, and when the church forgets about Jesus and we focus on other things, let's say numbers, or how many people we need to have, or how many programs we need to have, or what, you know, we have to have awesome praise music, and we forget that about Jesus, it's like us, like the church, flailing around like a chicken with its head cut off, forgetting who, what it is and who it is about, right? Then it becomes irrelevant. Now, this is very obvious, is it not? Right? You're like, oh yeah, I make that connection, right? But why do we need to spend time in this? Right? We know how this is how it works, that Jesus is at the top, right? If Jesus is not at the top, then there's really no church. Right? And we know that Jesus is supposed to be number one in everything. Otherwise, what happens when Jesus is not number one? When God is not present, when God is not everything in people's lives, it goes to crap, right? We look at Adam and Eve, strove after things like knowledge of good and evil. And then, sin enters the world, and life kind of sucks for them and for us. We know this, right? And if we have a test on this, I'm very sure, right? If I ask, who is Jesus in Colossians, right? You guys can all pass with like 110%, right? Because there'd be like an extra credit and you get that right too, okay? We pass with 110%. So why spend time on this? Why do I have to spend 30 minutes on this, right? Simply put, if I had to ask you right now, ask yourselves honestly. We say that Jesus is preeminent, number one in our lives. We say that Jesus is why we come to church. Honestly ask yourself, do we put Jesus as number one in our church? Right? When we come to church, are you coming because you know you want to meet Jesus? Because you know it's because of Jesus? Do you put Jesus as your number one priority outside of church? Ask yourselves that. Do I? I will tell you right now. Why do we need to hear this? Because we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. Shoot, I am a repeat offender. Right? I forget this all the time. Always forget that Jesus, sometimes, actually often, a lot of times, even in my daily life, I forget, oh yeah, Jesus has to be the thing I follow. Absolutely. He's the person I follow. Right? If everyone is truthful here, we do forget about this. Right? And so if Jesus is not preeminent, if he's not the head in our life and in the church, then that means that there's something else. Right? If Jesus isn't number one, then what is? Who is? And it means that there's something else that is preeminent, something else that is number one. And when that happens, right, when our hearts and our minds are so preoccupied with other things and we're not focused on Jesus, you know what happens? We end up feeling very discontent. Think about it. Jesus is number one, we end up feeling discontent. Right? And what does discontent mean? Right? It's not enough. Right? It's not fulfilling enough. Think about another one. When Jesus stops becoming the priority of church, don't we start to grumble? Right? When we forget that Jesus, that the church is about Jesus, and then we come burdened, and we're like, oh, I've got to go to church again this Sunday. Ugh. Church is so boring. Sunday school is so boring. Frank Jenna's honey isn't funny enough. He makes me fall asleep. Right? What's up with that guy? Or maybe you're thinking, the people in my youth group, they're not fun enough, aren't cool enough. I don't connect with them. Right? Which is not, I'm not saying that's wrong. Right? There's a need for that too. But sometimes that overwhelms us. Right? We think, what a waste of time it is to come to church. I got better things to do. Right? I can be outside playing. I can be working on my homework. I can be hanging out with my friends. Right? There's more important things to do. And the only reason I'm here is because of my parents. Right? Who's been in that boat before? I've been in that boat many times. Forget about Jesus. Right? Of course, it's going to be natural, right? When you don't see Jesus as the number one thing in your life, the thing that you strive for, of course it's natural then for us to feel discontent. You know what's worse, though? What's worse is that you would never say this out loud, but in the secret depths of your heart, in the same manner, when we complain, oh, church is boring, right? We will never say this, but it's true. Oh, it's because in our hearts, we may not admit it, but we think Jesus is stupid. He's old and he's boring. What does it matter? Right? And so when that happens, it's only natural. It's only natural to think that there is something better, something that's worthy. Right? Something that's worthy to fill that space. Right? And so we chase after it. And it can be I've talked about this numerous times, but I'm just going to gloss over it. It can be anything. It can be friends. It can be being smart. It can be money. It can be clothes. It can be sports. But I will tell you something. When you make anything else number one, other than God, other than Christ, it only leads to disappointment. Right? Probably like, what are you talking about? How do you know this? Right? You guys all know this. In your heart, you guys all know this. Right? And I'll give you an example. When you were young, all right, what is the thing, like when you were like 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, okay? What was the thing that excited you the most? What was the thing that you really wanted the most that you couldn't absolutely live without? When I was a kid, right, I would wake up. Now I don't wake up, all right? I wake up at like 9, 10, if I can. All right, if I could wake up at 11, I would wake up at 11. Okay, but when I was a kid, I would wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning, every Saturday. You know why? Saturday morning cartoons. All right, I love Saturday morning cartoons. Any of you guys love Saturday morning cartoons or watching cartoons? All right, some of you guys did, right? I did too. All right, I loved it. Even though I would sleep at like 12 on Friday night, I will wake up at 7 a.m. so I can watch Saturday morning cartoons, right? And I love, you guys ever watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Right, some of you guys are laughing. Yeah, okay, well, that was a show that was really popular when I was 5 years old, okay? The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle has better animation now, but back then, it wasn't as good. It was kind of crappy, right? But I love that TV show. And at 5 years old, I would always think to myself, I'm never going to get sick of this TV show. I'm going to love it forever and ever and ever, and I'm always going to watch it every morning. Yeah, about a year afterwards, I was like, you know, you're six. I'm six now. And I'm like, you see something else. And you know what came about? Power Rangers. Power Rangers. I love Power Rangers. I think I told this story before. For one Christmas, I asked for a Dragon Zord, right? And my mom waited in line at Toys R Us to get me that Dragon Zord. And I was like, yes! This is the best gift ever. I'm never going to get sick of this. I'm always going to love Power Rangers. And then I turned 7. Next thing I know, X-Men. It's like, oh, man, I got to watch X-Men. Hey, Power Rangers, that's old. I love X-Men. Gambit, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Wolverine, right? Magneto, the Blob, Pyro, Jubilee. I can name them all. All right, I can name even the obscure ones, Toad, all right, Cannonball, all those. I loved it, the comic books. I would read it, and I would think, this is the best thing ever, right? Me and my friends, in elementary school, we would, in the playground, we'd all be X-Men characters, all right? And we'd be X-Men, and my friend would always be Gambit, and he's like, oh, Frank, you have to be Cyclops. Like, why do I have to be Cyclops? Cyclops is like the most boring guy. Right, but we would play this, and I would think to myself, this is always going to be fun. Oh, this is the best thing. I loved X-Men. I'll never get bored of this. But it does. Right, it's never enough. We know this. You've experienced this. What you thought as a kid was the best thing in the world, now when you look back at it, you're like, ugh. That was so dumb. Right? How could I like? It's like, how can I have like Play-Doh? Ugh, that's so boring. Play-Doh's whatever. Right? Little kids love Play-Doh, like 3 years old. Okay. Sometimes we do this with food. Like the first time I ever ate Taco Bell, right? I think I was like 8. Right? My dad took me to Taco Bell. I didn't know what a taco was. All I knew was hamburgers, McDonald's, chicken nuggets, and Korean food. All right, so I was like, what is this taco? What is this thing with this hard shell and meat and cheese and lettuce? Lettuce? Really? This could taste good? I ate it, and I fell in love. I was like, every Sunday, I was like, oh, Dad, let's go to Taco Bell. I think I can eat this every day forever. Right? I can eat this every day forever. And I think there was a time in probably middle school or high school when, you know, I didn't have to rely on my dad to get food. I think I ate like Taco Bell for like 4 days straight, right? As a kid, I was thinking, that is like, I could do this forever. But what happens? What happens? You guys know this, right? You find a food that you really like. You think, yes, this is the best. And you eat. And there's a point at which what? You do kind of get sick of it, right? You do get sick of it. I mean, I can eat, maybe I can eat. Back then, I could probably eat Taco Bell 3 days at most, right? 3 days straight, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay. But after a while, you get sick of it, right? So you guys know this. And so what makes us think that this won't happen with the other things we chase? With the other things we chase in life, don't you know that it's going to fail you? That it's not going to fulfill you, that disappoint you? But we still chase anyways. Like I said, Power Rangers, X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Right? We keep chasing, thinking something might just fulfill me. And so if Jesus is, and here's the crazy thing, right? Chew on this for a little bit. If Jesus is the number one priority in all of life, not just our life, but just life in general, of all creation, he is preeminent. This is by design, right? Are we then that dumb to try to replace him with something so inferior? And yet, we go after it, even when we know mean, if hell, right, is discomfort and always being in pain, right, that's the picture of hell that we get, right? Then tell me, always feeling like something is not enough, always feeling some type of emptiness, always wanting, always desiring, always feeling thirsty, isn't that hell too? You're just deciding to live it out here in the now? And yet we do this to ourselves. Constantly do this to ourselves. When Jesus isn't number one in our life does become hell. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Here it is. Even when we inflict pain on ourselves, right? Even when we're thirsty, right? Because that's what it is. Feeling, think about that, when you're most thirsty, right? After running 2 miles, 3 miles, or after working in the sun for a long time, and your throat becomes dry, and your mouth becomes dry, and all you can feel is that saliva in your mouth, and you're like, right? What do you want? Water. Right? Because at that moment, water will what? Quench your thirst. Right? And yet, in our life, think about these other things. Think about a water that doesn't quench you. Right? After you drink a tall glass of water, your mouth still feels dry. Your throat still feels dry. What we do to ourselves when we take these other things. And we think that this is going to make me not thirsty anymore. We inflict this pain on ourselves. Here's the thing. Jesus offers us a drink that will quench all our thirst. He gives us a glass of water that'll fill us up so that we'll never be thirsty again. All our desires, the things that we think that fulfills us, he does it. Jesus, the creator of the universe. And that's what we read in Colossians. Jesus, the creator of the universe. You know what that means? He's the one who's good. And he's the one that creates good. And the one that can only offer goodness. Only one who can offer goodness. He gives it to us. He gives us himself who is good. By what? By taking away all the empty promises of this world. All those things that we think should be number one in our lives but disappoints us. He takes it all. He takes all that bitterness too, right? Because that's what happens, right? You get bitter. Ah, that didn't do it for me. Ah, I need to find the next thing. He takes all that bitterness. All the things that we hold as number one in our life, he takes it to the cross with him. And how far does this love extend? That he, Jesus, who was preeminent, who was firstborn of creation, he who would be first became last. Because he died the death of a common criminal. A death that is unworthy, right? For a man who should be number one on a cross. For us. For us. Coming back to life, right? He became exalted that he may be number one in everything. Right? Firstborn of the dead. You know, there are other people that came back to life. Right? Lazarus came back to life. Who else? I believe in Luke there is a story of a child who comes back. back to life because Jesus brings him back to life. So there's other people who came back to life before Jesus, but why is he? Because he is number one. He is the one who comes back to life but never dies again. God exalts him to a place of honor so that we will see for the first time, or we will see over and over again, oh yeah, Jesus is everything in my life. Jesus is the first and the last. He's everything. He's all my priorities. Because when Jesus really is preeminent, when we seek after him, you know, he gives us a new and wonderful life. It's hard, but it's worth it. Let me illustrate this point. There's a guy, I don't know if you guys know him. When I was in high school, he was really popular. His name was MC Jin. You guys heard of him? MC Jin. He was this, he was what in the hip-hop world, a battle rapper. All right? And he was on a, you guys ever heard of the TV show or TV channel BET? Black Entertainment Television. All right, there's a TV channel on cable. Okay, it's called Black Entertainment Television. And they play a lot of hip-hop. And there's this one show called 106M Park. And every Fridays, they would do this rap battle, right? You guys ever seen rap battles before? Right, one person rhymes and spits, you know, or I'm blanking on what the term. But anyways, one person goes, right? And they flow, all right? I'm just blanking on it. That's, yes, Danny. 8 Mile. Oh, yeah. Have you guys seen 8 Mile? No? Okay, never mind. All right, so anyways, so when you rap, right, you have lyrics, right? But when you battle rap, you don't have set lyrics. You go off the top, you freestyle off the top of your head, okay? So every Friday, they would do this, and they would pit two people against each other. One goes, and then the other goes, and then it goes back to him, and then it goes back to him, and then the crowd decides who wins, right? All right, it all depends on your flow, your delivery, how witty you are, how smart, right? All of it, right? How you make the other person feel dumb, too, okay? If you can come back at them. So there's this guy named MC Jin, Chinese guy. Oh, yeah, oh, see, that's what I mean. Chinese guy. He won, five straight weeks in a row. No one had ever done that. No one, all right? He was beating the black guys, the white guys, every guy, all right? Dude, 5 straight weeks, unprecedented. And because of that, he actually signed a record deal with a record deal, label called Rough Riders, all right? And everyone was like, and this guy was amazing. To be honest with you, he was Chinese, but man, that guy was good, okay? Everyone knew this. And so everyone got excited. Everyone got excited. They're like, oh, he's going to make this album. There's how many billion Chinese people in China, and they're all going to buy it? Oh, he's going to have like hundreds of millions of records sold. He's going to be popular. He's going to have fame. He's going to have everything, right, when this record drops. This record dropped. 19,000 only. So all the people that were hyping him, right? All the people that are like, Jin, you're going to be amazing. You're going to be one of the best MCs in the business. Now they're turning their backs on him. Oh, I knew he was going to fail. I knew he was going to flop. I knew he was going to flop. Now, I was actually in that boat too. I remember thinking, this guy could be good. And I was like, yes, he's representing Asians. And then when he didn't do well, I remember telling my friends, oh, yeah, this guy sucks. All right. This is the story of Jin. Right. But that's not the complete story. Now, you see, Jin, he says that when he was younger, he used to go to VBS, right, because of his aunt. His aunt was a Christian, but his family weren't Christians. And so his aunt would invite him to VBS every summer. And he would go from 8 from 8 years old to 13 years old. And in that time, he said he believed in Jesus. Right? And I was surprised when I first heard this. I was like, really? You? Okay, that's cool. All right. But nothing much of it, right? He believed in Jesus, but nothing really happened. And he says, all my life I believed in God. However, I would only turn to him in times of need. I strayed for many years and lived a life that I believed that without God's protection and grace would have led ultimately to do an unfortunate outcome. So, you know, his story isn't any different from ours. Who has gone to VBS before? I know many of you guys have. Many of you guys have gone to retreats and said, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Right. But then, like Jim, we live our lives doing whatever we want. Right? Only coming to him when we're in need. Right? What does that show? Jin didn't really see that Jesus was number one, and so he filled his life with other things. And what is this other thing? Like, we go back to the beginning of our story, right? For him, it was rap. For him, it was finding validation in the number of records he sold. If he sells this many records, he's going to be the bomb. Right? He's going to be dope. Everyone's going to see him in the hip-hop world and be like, yes, that's... didn't happen, right? It didn't happen the way he wanted to happen. And so what happened? It disappointed him. The thing that he put number one in his life disappointed him. Friends left, right? I mean, you have to understand, this guy was on BET. There was a magazine called The Vibe. It was very popular, right? He was even on ESPN. He was on ESPN. He doesn't play sports and he was on ESPN, right? That's how popular he was at that time. Everybody forgot about him like that. And this is what he says. He said that he fell into a deep depression where he would lock himself in his room, not wanting to see anybody. He felt like total failure. Right? He said it wasn't until he was reminded one day by a pastor that he just happened to meet, reminded him of God's love for him, and the fulfillment that God, that Christ can give him. Right? Nothing flashy. It was just a conversation he had with the pastor of just how Jesus is preeminent in his life. That changed him. Right? This is what he says. He said, the biggest breakthrough in the days to follow will be that I have, for the first time in my life, developed a continuously growing intimate relationship with the Lord. He also says, people's misconception in experiencing Christ is that we must adhere to rules. But the reality is that the more that I run towards Christ, the less I want to drink or curse. You gotta understand, that's like that was his life before. What is this saying? Why? What are these quotes there for? He had built his life on these other things. It didn't fulfill him. It saddened him. It made him depressed. Once the light bulb clicked, once the Holy Spirit clicked in his heart, that Jesus is preeminent, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, saw it. And this guy ran after it hard. Right? And he says, yeah, you know, being a Christian is tough. Right? Seems like a bunch of rules. But the more I follow Christ, this is his words, more I run towards Christ, right, the less I want to drink or curse. It's the same thing as saying, the less I want to follow after the world. Now you see, you know, I was just watching his videos, his new raps and stuff. This guy has a real joy about him, a real fulfillment. You know, and he's been blessed. He said right after he became a Christian, like, he really understood what it meant to be a Christian, that you make Jesus your number one thing. That it's a relationship with God. He said he got married, right? He restarted his career, this time in Hong Kong. And what's funny, everyone who said, like, oh, he's whack, oh, his rapping sucks, right? He made this another rap, right, in English. It's called Welcome to the Light Show, right? And this time it was all about Jesus. Right? And all of a sudden, a flood of people were encouraging him and loving him, saying, wow, how wonderful is that? Right? And I'm not saying, yes, you get material blessing. Sure, he got a wife. You know, he's got a new career in rap again. Okay, if you follow Jesus, yes, God will give you material blessing. But more than that, he gives you a certain sense of joy and fulfillment that no other thing in this world can give you. So here, in this church, you know, we can complain about how boring the service is. We can complain about how bad my sermons are. And to be honest with you, it's not the best. I admit that, and I will try hard to make it better. Right? We can complain about how Sunday schools are boring. We can complain about this and that about our church. But I will tell you right now, if you're not coming here for Jesus, then those complaints are never going to leave. They will never leave. Until we focus on what really is truly glorious and what really is preeminent, what should be preeminent, which is Christ. Why? Because He is the one who gives you life. He is the one that gives you joy. He is the one. I probably sound like a cymbal, right? Just banging. Just a bunch of noise. But I'm going to keep banging this gong till it gets through. Because I believe this. This is it right here. He should be preeminent. Because I was telling you, He is the only way that you will ever find true happiness, true joy, true peace. Only through Him. I hope you don't have to learn this the hard way. I hope you don't have to learn this the hard way. I hope you will get this now. It took me 25 years to learn this. It took Jin like 29 years. It took some people 40 years. I hope you don't have to. You will see Him before that. Now, will you seek Him? Will you seek Jesus? He who is glorious, He who is preeminent, He who is number one. Not just by design, because He is the one who fulfills us. Jesus, forgive us that when we come to church, and this is myself included, Lord, that we pay lip service, Lord, that we do not really come to seek You, that our hearts are not aflame to know You, Jesus. Lord, we are dumb enough to inflict pain on ourselves. Lord, to inflict pain on You, Lord, we forgive us. Forgive us that we have idols and we have worldly things, Lord, inferior things as our number one priority in our lives. Forgive us. And I pray for all of us, Lord, whether we believe or not, for those who believe, that You will remind us daily through Your Spirit that the things of this world are not worth anything as you, Lord Jesus. For those who do not yet believe, I pray, Lord, I can keep saying and use smooth talk, but Lord, we know in the end that it is through your Holy Spirit that you open eyes to see that you are number one. And so I ask, Lord, for this youth group and for this church, that may we not stray away from our true call, that we not stray away why the purpose of why we are here, that it is you, Jesus, you who are head over everything, you who are head over the church. So I ask, we ask, Lord, will we turn away from idolatries and turn to you? Will we turn to you, Lord Jesus, and see how great, how wonderful, and how mighty you really are? In your son's name we pray. At this time, we're going to take our offering. If I can have Dennis and Sarah Lee be our ushers today. Have John come up. And we're going to sing How Great Is Our God.